Hello, great to see you guys. And as Master said, we're carrying on with the sciences. Okay, so last week we learned that when we're sharing our story is actually divided into three parts, which is before we believed in Christ, before, and then what actually happened when we gave our life to Christ, and life after giving our lives to Christ. Okay, so we're going to review the six sentences, and I'm told you guys don't need slides, you know, you've got this. You remember the six sentences from the word gospel, right? No, I need slides, I guess. No, I'm joking. Let's go. All right, so God created us to be with him. So please, let's say it together. God created us to be with him. Our sins separate us from God. Sins cannot be removed by good deeds. Paying the price for sin, Jesus died and rose again. Everyone who trusts in him alone has eternal life. Life with Jesus starts now and lasts forever. Awesome. Okay, so today's part two of sharing our story. And we're going to watch a video. Please just listen carefully. It's about someone's story, so we also get an idea of how we can share our story and look out for the before, then, and after. Right.
Man, I'm from St. Louis, Missouri. I grew up in the hood, influenced by hip-hop culture, rap music. The gang culture, the drug culture was really pulling at me as a young dude coming up in that space. While at the same time, my family was pushing me towards God, Christianity, Jesus Christ. So I was conflicted on the inside, and I knew God was real. I knew heaven was real. But at the same time, I wanted to be normal. I wanted to fit in with the status quo in my environment. So I was just in that space where I was confused and I was torn between what to do. And eventually, I started making bad decisions and just ruining my life. And God had to allow things to happen to get my attention. I ended up getting kicked out of my high school because a lot of drama, fighting, shooting, it was crazy. Had to go to a new school. On the way home from the orientation, I got into a tragic accident. I was hit three times by an 18-wheeler carrying fuel. And it just wrecked the entire left side of my body. It was a 12-car pileup. We did a 360 going about 75 miles per hour. We eventually hit the left shoulder of the highway. The car flipped over. And man, the Lord preserved me. He protected me. And I went to my grandmother. I asked her, I said, why did God let this happen? She says, I don't know why, but you need to repent. You need to turn away from your sin, turn away from the things that you love, that God hates. And after that conversation, I remember just being impacted. And a week and a half after it, my grandmother died from a heart attack. So those two events back to back just shook me up. And I remember I was invited to church. I resisted for so long. But I went and I heard the gospel that Jesus loved me. He died for my sin. He resurrected so that I can be free and have new life in him. And that message so overwhelmed me, I just broke down in tears. And God snatched me up that day. He saved me. He rescued me from myself. And I remember after moving into a relationship with Christ, I remember understanding my identity, that God created me in his image, that he made me, I'm beautifully and wonderfully made, that he owns me, and I am to demonstrate biblical manhood, lead a family, be a leader in my local church, in my community, and my ideas about sexuality, womanhood, manhood, and my views on social ills, all of those things were impacted by my relationship with Christ, and I began to just let that be expressed in my music, as I related to people in my school and my family, and people started to change. And I think that really made an impact on the people around me. So that's who I was before, and this is who I am now.
Wow, that is powerful. So as we're watching this, I was thinking, okay, compared to what happened to me, maybe I actually don't have a story, you know. This guy has a whole lot to say, whereas mine is like, it's nothing compared to this. So, I mean, you might be in my shoes where, you know, you can also say, you know, I don't have much to say. But that is not true. Each and every one of us has a story to tell because we can all say there is life before we gave our lives to Christ. There's something that was happening in your life. There's a way that you're living your life that is different from how you are now living your life after giving your life to Christ. So each bottom line is we all have before, then, and after. It's different, and that is what makes us unique. That is perfectly okay. So right now, you're going to get handouts, and we're each going to write our stories because everybody has a story. Don't underestimate your story because someone else's life is banking on what you have to say. So just use simple words, be real, write exactly what happened before you gave your life to Christ, how you then gave your life to Christ, and what your life has been like after giving your life to Christ. So basically, you don't have to write in Christianese. Just try to be simple and real with yourself. Okay, so in pairs, please just share your stories and take time to evaluate each other's. No, we're trying to help each other here. Okay, guys, please listen up. Okay, so share with each other and try to evaluate the other person's story and help them out. And also pray for them so that they'll be able to share their story with whoever needs to listen to it. Okay, guys, I'm sure it was awesome sharing each other's story. And I'm just going to read quickly from Revelation 12, verse 11, that tells us how important and powerful it is for us to share our testimonies with each other. It says, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death." So that is how we overcome. That is how we defeat evil and the enemy, by sharing our testimony. So I'm going to ask to come and just quickly share with us her story.
Hi, everyone. So I'm going to try to put this in point form. So I was born. Yay. That's when it all started. Everything just went cool. So when I was 3, my mom passed away. She had TB. So she was removed from me, so I couldn't catch on to it because I was still young. So that was rough, being removed from my mom. Okay, cool. Then I moved in with my gran, and then she took care of me. Then she got cancer, or breast cancer, and then I had to move in with one of my aunts. And then while I was there, I was molested. So if you don't know what that means, it means you are touched in places where you are not supposed to be touched. And that happened from when I was 5 till I was 11. So the last time it happened was actually the day of my grandfather's funeral. It was really weird. Okay. So that happened. That changed the way I viewed women. So I thought they were not as what God had put them on earth for, to be loving, caring, but otherwise. Okay. And then my gran passed away, and then I lived with my dad alone. So that was rough, because it's a man. And yeah. And then he was always sick. So and then 2010, he passed away. So you can imagine, I'm 10 years old, don't know what's happening. My parents are gone. So I had to move from where I lived, and I moved to Greenside with one of my other aunts. So I was there. So I had to move schools as well. So I didn't settle completely. So I was confused. I didn't know what was happening. So then I tried to commit suicide. And then I realized that where I wanted to kill myself was right outside my window, and there was a tree, so I was gonna hang myself. And then I didn't realize that my helper was actually fetching the washing from the washing line, which was outside, so she caught me. Amazing. So yeah. And then I didn't want to go to school. I was this is not for me. Life is just too much for me right now. And then my teachers decided that, I'm not in a good space, so I had to go see a therapist. Didn't help, because they would ask questions so how do you feel about that? And I'm just okay, never mind. Then what happened? And then 6 months down the line, my grandfather passed away. So I was God, what are you doing? You're taking everyone from me. So I'd been with God, right, from the time I was born, because I was born into a Christian family. But I didn't have a relationship with him, a solid relationship with him. So then after I tried to commit suicide, I realized, okay, maybe God is there, because I could have killed myself, but then if she wasn't outside, I would, yeah, okay. And then I decided that I was going to give my life to God. And then just, it went upside down again. And then my aunt tried to get rid of me, and I was what on earth is happening? You feel so abandoned, and it's just bad. So I feel after I fully gave my life to God, everything just turned upside down again, and it didn't get better for some reason. And so, like, I realized that I actually need to have a relationship with him. I can't just be like, okay, I'm a Christian, and I'm going to come to church and act all holy because I'm not. That's when everything kind of, like, changed. Yeah, so it's not perfect, but it's, like, getting there, I think. So, yeah.
I thank you so much for sharing that with us.
So, guys, we're going to please ask to please come up and share her story. What I'm about to share with you guys is very sensitive because, like, not many people know this about my life. But, yeah. From a young age, I was kind of forced to believe in God because I grew up in a Christian family. So there was nothing else there for me to believe in. It was just God, Christ, Jesus, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And at first, because I've always been at this church, like I've been at this church since I was in my mother's stomach. So I used to come here, it was nice. He used to teach us, like, Jesus loves us, and we sing those songs, Jesus loves me, yes, I know, for the Bible tells me so. Yes. And I believed it because that's all I knew, you know. All I knew. So I believed that. I was like, Jesus loves me, you know. Jesus is there for me. God is everywhere. He's always there. He cares about me. And then it came to a point where I was age 6. And my parents started becoming too busy to notice me. So before, they used to leave me, like, home alone. And it became very traumatic for me. Where this one time they came home and they found me, like, under the bed. They were, like, shocked. They almost called the cops. They thought I was missing, but I was legit just under the bed because I was scared. And then they decided that they were going to take me to my uncle's house and he was going to have to be the one to take care of me. And that was cool with me because that was my uncle. I was like, yay, uncle's house, yes, yes, yes. And he used to fetch me from, like, preschool, and then we go to his house and I sit there and I watch cartoons the whole day and I eat cereal, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. It was beautiful. And then when I was about, like, 6 and a half, my uncle started acting weird. Like, I could see that he was having some, like, mental issues type of things going on. So this one day I was sitting on the couch and I was watching cartoons and he just came in. He slammed the door, he took a dish and he threw it across the room, and I was like, whoa, what was that? Like, I was still, like, young, so that was my first time seeing something like that. It was kind of traumatic. I was like, what's going on? So when I went home, I told my mom, and I was like, hey, mom, I saw my uncle throw a dish, and we're like, pah! And my mom was just like, these things happen. Like, he's getting old, probably going through, like, a midlife crisis and all that. And I was like, what's a midlife crisis? But I didn't dare ask, because I was like, hey, I don't want to get involved in his business. So I was like, okay, I understand now. And I kept on going to his house because my parents were just everywhere. And then this one day, I'm sitting watching, like, cartoons. Like, this is something that has been in my brain since that day. I'm sitting where I normally sit watching what I normally watch. And my uncle comes in. He puts down his briefcase and he says in a firm voice, what are you doing? And I'm like, sitting on the couch watching cartoons. And he's like, why are you sitting on my couch? And I was like, because it's where I always sit. And he was like, get up, you spoiled brat. So I'm like, I'm not getting up. If I get up, I don't know what's happening next. So at the time, when I was young, I still had, like, dreads. Like, everybody knows me from a young age of having dreads. And then he pulled me by my dreads, and I was like, what's going on? This has never happened to me. A man has never touched me this way, not even my father. And he beat me up. And that was my first turning point. And I was like, why is God, who loves me, letting this happen? And I went home and I told my mom what happened. And she didn't believe me. She was like, there's a reason why I'm keeping you at your uncle's house. And if you don't want to go there anymore, you don't have to come and make up fairy tale stories. Just tell me that you don't want to go there. And I was like, I do want to go there, but this happened. And she was just like, just go away. You're stressing me. And I was like, God, where are you? Like, you're the only one who can testify for me now, because you're the only one who saw what happened. And obviously, he couldn't legit come out through the heavens and be like, I saw the scene. Obviously. So then I kept on going to my uncle's house because that's where my parents wanted me to be. And he kept on beating me up. And I kept on drawing further and further away from God because I was like, if he really does love me, why is he letting this happen to me? And then it got to a point where he was sexually abusing me. So at a young age, my mom used to tell me that nobody is allowed to touch you in your private region except for me. Because obviously she's the one who used to dress me up and all those things. And when he did that, I was like, I know this is wrong. As a child, I didn't know what that was, but I knew that it was wrong because my mom said that nobody was supposed to do that. And so I told my mom, and she still didn't believe me. And at that point, I legit really just crossed out the thought of there even being a God. I was like, there's no such thing as a God. And then this happened. I was 6 at the time when it started, 6 and a half. And it happened till this one night where I was 9, where my uncle came in. He did what he usually does. And then, I don't know, something clicked in me. And I fought back with so much force that I've never fought with in my life. And I bit him. And he got very angry. And he went out and he got a knife. And he, as he was about to attack me, I feel like something just clicked in him, and he stopped. He threw the knife across the room, and he left. And I stayed there the whole night, just hugging myself, not even knowing what to say. I didn't pray to God because now I didn't believe there was a God. And so, the following day, when I went to school, I was in the 3rd grade now, and I came back from school. My parents weren't there, so I knew that my uncle was coming. And he didn't show up, but my aunt did. She's my uncle's sister, and she was like, I was instructed to bring you to your uncle's house because he's not picking up his phone. So your parents are like, I have to take you there, and I'm busy, so you can't stay with me either. So she took me there, right, and she dropped me off, and I walked into his house because it was open, and I was like, who leaves their house open when they're not there? And as I walk in, I'm like, Uncle, where are you? He's not answering. And so I walked into his room and I opened the door and I saw him there hanging from the ceiling, from the light, and he was dead. And at that point in my life was when I just decided that there was nothing for me to believe in. No Allah, no Buddha, no Jesus, no nothing. And so, from that day, I haven't been able to sleep properly since that day because I started to suffer from post-traumatic disorder. Then this one night, as I was having my usual nightmares, I woke up and usually I wake up and I cry so that my parents can come and comfort me. But that night, instead of crying, for some reason, I got down on my knees and I began to pray. And at that time, I think I was about 11. It was the time where I actually, for once, for myself, gave my heart to Jesus. And I was like, I need you in my life. Because I saw that trying to work through it on my own really just wasn't working. I was getting deeper and deeper buried into this hole. And I needed somebody to let me out. And so I gave my heart to Jesus, and I told my mom, I was like, this is actually the first time where I've actually ever believed that there is someone out there who loves me, who made me, who wants me to be, you know. And then from there, I was just believing. I came to church, and they told me about being a mad worker and all those type of things that were going on down there. And I was like, yes, yes, I want to do it. I want to serve. I want to show God that, you know, all these years that I've been neglecting him, I want to show him that I really do love him now. And I did, like, everything. I serve in the church. Even now, I do kids' ministry. And from there, things have been tough, like memories, flashbacks, all those type of things. They still do come. But now,
I know who I need to turn to. And I know that there is a God because I feel him. At the time when I was young, I didn't really know what I was doing. And I didn't really know whom I was praying to. I was just praying to somebody that my parents told me was there. But now I know who, and I feel him. And that's how I know that he's there. And when I cry, I feel him wiping away my tears. Thank you.
Okay, guys. Oh, okay. Guys, so you saw how confident Futhi was telling her story. Please know that any story can challenge anybody out there and be challenged to actually go out and share your story as well.
Okay, so now we're just going to pray before we leave. All right, let us pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for this time that we had. We thank you for what you're doing in our lives. And Father, for all the stories that we have shared and what we have learned from each other. We pray that you help us, Lord, to go out there and share our stories with the lost, that they too may come to know you. We thank you for your grace, and we just commit the rest of this week into your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And next week, please come prepared for another awesome time as we learn about engaging our circle. All right, God bless you.